Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Joining me in studio today is the SIP's Assistant Deputy Chief, Chris Graham. How you doing today?
Excellent, excellent.
So have you in basically once a year, it seems like at this point, yep. To talk about river breakup. River breakup season is underway. You put out your release back on April 1st, and it wasn't an April Fool's. It is warming up out there. And so river breakup, on average, it happens around April 19th when yes. It officially declared. But with the warmer weather, of course, we will start to see the ice crack and break on the Athabasca and Clearwater Rivers. Just for those who don't know, what is river breakup?
Okay. So there's a hazard in this particular region. It's also in the Peace River region that has to do with when the river starts to break. So the ice breaks up, it jams. And it jams in this area because there's a number of rivers. So there's the Horse River, the Hanging Stone River, the Clearwater, and the Athabasca all interacting. And the bottom of the river, it varies between rocky and shallow and deeper. Mm-hmm. So all that kind of stuff interacts to cause that ice to jam. When it jams, it floods. So within the municipality, the level of the river is 241 meters above sea level. So that's kind of where we start our flood watching from.
Right.
When the ice jams, it depends on where it's jamming from, or where it jams at, I should say. So if it jams before the bridges, then what typically will happen is it's kind of like a big plug. So it plugs all the water coming in from the south, because the river here runs to the north, mm-hmm. as opposed to in other areas running to an ocean or running to the south. So that means that the water and ice is trying to go towards more ice as opposed to open water. So that's why we get that jamming, and we get this kind of push of warm water and ice that comes into the region and kind of gets stuck. So if it gets stuck before the bridges, it floods behind. So towards the golf course and back that way.
Right.
That's not as bad as if it floods or if it stops or gets stuck where the Clearwater and the Athabasca meet. So if it gets stuck there, we tend to get a lot more flooding, mm-hmm. because that's where the jam is occurring. Now, nature is very powerful, and that the river is very powerful that way. It finds its way around. So eventually, the water level will rise and go past and find its way. So even right now, there's a couple open spots, mm-hmm. by the wastewater treatment plant, along the rapids, so our partners in Alberta Environment and Parks have been watching satellite images of the river all the way back down to where the Pembina River matches or touches the Athabasca.
Right.
Because it's all one big system. So river breakup here is an event for us.
Yeah, it is.
But it starts way, way to our south, right? So as a hazard, the hazard here is flooding due to ice jams. So that's an important piece, because we do get flooding other times of the year, mm-hmm. right? So 2013, the big Hanging Stone flood, that didn't have anything to do with river breakup.
Right.
It had to do with water capacity in the Hanging Stone River. So it is important to understand what the hazard is and what that hazard causes. So ice jamming causes flooding. And because we have lots of areas that are low, so the Snai Point is in one in particular, all along the banks, along the Clearwater, into the waterways and Draper area. All that area goes up from 241 meters. So anywhere along there could be at risk, depending on the amount of water that backs up.
Right. How long in advance, or when did you start monitoring the river for the break to start to happen, once the temperatures got warmer, or your colleagues from the province?
So months.
Right.
And so one of the interesting things is that there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. So the river forecasters have been taking measurements since back in January. Mm-hmm. They're measuring the snow. They're calculating how many freezing days we've had. In March, we measured the thicknesses of the ice. So between our municipal departments, our engineering department, our public works department, and our Alberta Environment and Parks, we've been working on this kind of stuff for months because we know the season is there.
Mm-hmm.
So what you see publicly is the result of the preparation period. So asking the population to be prepared, to stay away from the banks. So we don't wait until the weather gets warm.
Mm-hmm.
We know the weather will get warm. So we start planning a great deal out. And that includes, we've already had among the RMWB, we've already had our meetings to confirm that everyone has their plans in place, that everyone knows what they need to do when the river starts to break, because that's when we'll know whether we're going to get flooding or not, right?
Mm-hmm. And you have to, right? Because, I mean, our warm temperatures can come at whenever. It's not really, every year it seems to be, it seems to get warmer at different times of the year. How did it have any effect? A couple weeks ago, we had a stretch of really warm temperatures that's resulted in all our snow melt, and now we're gone back to kind of just below zero. Does that help with the ice jams in any way, if instead of having those warm temperatures right through?
Well, it definitely does have an effect.
Mm-hmm.
So the warm weather got rid of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the snow has primarily melted and run off. Now, that's bad for fire season, right?
Yeah.
I understand you had Fire Smart on here the other day.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
So for fire season, you want the ground to absorb the water, because when the ground absorbs the water, so that's a slow melt, then it makes everything more moist in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we haven't had a ton of rain. Over the last month, there's been nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even with the warmer temperature. Now, that snow has melted, drained off into the rivers, but it just kind of trickles in.
Mm-hmm.
The effect on the river, when there's no snow cover, the sun can get at it. And it starts this kind of freeze-thaw cycle. So right now, it thawed during the nice weather,
yeah.
But the river's not going to spontaneously break up. It needs that action from the south. So it makes the ice weaker, which is why we don't want people to go near any of those water bodies, right? Any of those, that ice, you cannot tell visually how thick the ice is and what the sun has been doing to it. And you're starting to see pools of water,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's an indicator that something's coming. So the warm weather speeds it up, maybe gets rid of all our snow cover, but it won't cause the river to break, because we're looking at all the other factors, and it takes a bit more of that mechanical action from the south to actually get it to break.
Right.
When it gets cold, it slows it back down. So last year, the river breakup was declared on the 28th. So very late mm-hmm. in the season, because we went from a warm stretch into a cold stretch in the middle of April. And that slowed everything back down, started things freezing again into a freeze-thaw cycle.
Right. Well, we could see a lot of action next week because temperatures are supposed to be in the double digits.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm a summer lover, so I love the whole aspect.
Yeah.
So, and there are things, there's lots of different indicators, we'll call them. Some scientific, some not so scientific.
Right.
So, the ducks and the geese returning. The ravens move out, you get ducks and geese, you get some of the other birds that are normally associated with this area during the springtime,
mm-hmm.
okay? When they start to come back in, you know, okay, it's coming. There are aspects like the Pembina River that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That will start to go. And you can all watch all this river stuff on, there's an app called AB Rivers. So that's Alberta Rivers. It's the exact complement to AB Fire. So just like the app for AB Fire shows you where fires are in the entire province, AB Rivers tells you what's going on with all the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So on there right now, the Peace River region has all kinds of warnings associated with it. That typically goes first, then the Athabasca region. So all the indicators are getting set up.
Mm-hmm.
Hangstone opens up. Hangstone is flowing, right, from the top portion. Those are indicators that we're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't tell you the date and the time.
If you could, you can make a great bet.
Exactly.
Start a pool, yeah. And I do ask you this every year, and I just, yep. And it's kind of the same answer, but you can't really, the province doesn't really have a flood forecast, do they, in a sense? Like, we don't know, do we know how severe a flooding, or if we do have any flooding, how it could be?
Yes, they do provide a forecast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is it's based on a scale. So the middle of it's a 5-point scale. It goes from much above average to much below average. And we're in average.
Okay.
Now, that's not really, really helpful. But what it does say to us is that we're not in a really, really bad flood stage type or flood situation, or we're not in a really, really dry period where there's going to be impact on fire. So we're kind of in the middle of the road. They're
not almost, a bad place to be.
No, exactly. And we do know that places like the Snai will always flood.
Yeah.
It's because it's right at that 241 level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we put barricades up. So we'll put barricades up in all the known areas where not only do people go, but the barricades are meant to be a warning to those, to people, our population, that this area is not safe. And typically they're in areas that access right down to the river. So walking on the ice, putting your vehicle down near the ice, all that stuff is behaviors that we're discouraging. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And same with Sillin Forest Road. That one's also closed,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's correct. The portion that's down, right down next to the water treatment plant.
Right.
So that is an area that's particularly at risk because of the banks mm-hmm. areas and the access down to the river.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll get into more about what you need to know about river breakup when we return after these commercials. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you're listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is Chris Graham, Assistant Deputy Chief, and we're talking all about river breakup season. River breakup is, on average, officially declared on April 19th. We're still watching it now. But so before the break, you were talking all about what river breakup is. But just for those who don't, or just to give people more information, what should they be aware of when it comes to river break and what they need to have on them in the event that flooding does happen?
Okay, so we've talked about the hazard. So some of the planning pieces, we've talked about what we do as a municipality mm-hmm. to keep our citizens safe. As an individual, you have a responsibility to plan as well. So if you're in a low-lying area, so lots of folks in Draper, for instance, you need to plan, okay? You need to plan what if.
Mm-hmm.
What if the water starts to come up? At what point are you going to leave your house or place of residence? And what are you going to take with you? So the planning piece is what if. The other portion is what are you going to take with you? So that's get a kit.
Mm-hmm.
And a kit is there can be all kinds of different things in it. So we talk about kits for cars. So during the winter, you should travel with like blankets and that kind of stuff, and flares if you get stuck on the side of the road. So that is a kit for traveling. There's ones to do with pets. There's one to do with individuals, right? Families. Everyone kind of needs a little bit, something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily though, if you're going to have to leave, what do you take with you? If you're going to have to stay without power, without maybe running water, what do you have on hand? So those are the kind of two aspects. If you're asked to leave, what do you take with you? So the medicines aspect, your critical documents, always grab your wallet or your purse that way. If you're going to stay, then you should have water on hand, food on hand, medicines again. You should still be prepared to go if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I say a kit is very personal. It's very individual. The trick is that way you're comfortable. You should know where it is and what you're going to grab. So if you're given 15 minutes, okay, you know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, I've been saying this for a couple of years now, that if I give you 15 minutes, and you were in a very stressful situation, that 15 minutes passed very quick.
It was, yeah.
But if we sat here in complete silence for 15 minutes, everyone would start to tune out.
I think after 30 seconds, like, okay, what? Something's wrong.
So the intent is be prepared mentally,
mm-hmm.
have a plan, and know what you're going to do, what you're going to grab, what kind of kit you would grab given that circumstance.
In speaking with people, do you find residents are more prepared with having their own kit and evacuation plan since 2016?
In general.
Yeah.
In general. Now, and it's kind of a funny thing, right? That's why we reinforce it every single year.
Yeah.
And people tend to remember when the hazard level comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So we try and part of my job in the municipality is to remind people of that kind of thing. So we have a guide. It's called an ATCO guide. It provides all kinds of information on personal preparedness. We're going to be coming out with a new guide in May. So look forward to that because it's going to have all kinds of good stuff in it. Okay.
I think it's like one of those things you hear it all the time. And you're like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And then the time comes, you're like, oh, I probably should have done that.
Yeah. And that's why the apps, AB Rivers, mm-hmm. AB Fire, they're good apps. There's lots of really good stuff. If you want to know about ice forecasting or all the components that are in an ice jam, what the terminology is, if you want to get into that kind of stuff, that stuff is all available on the Alberta Environment and Parks mm-hmm. website. And if you have the app, it'll link you right to it. And for the preparedness stuff, it's on the municipal website and specifically under /breakup.
And we've spoken about this on other times you're on the show, but you'll also see some blue e-signs around town, which is also a good indicator or a helpful reminder of where to go if you are being evacuated, right?
Yes. So those signs point to Highway 63. Now, we may end up... If we have to evacuate, then typically we'll set up a reception center and group lodging.
Mm-hmm.
So we have moved them around now. There's ones like we've used the Legion most recently
mm-hmm.
During the winter time. Sometimes we use McDonald Island. Sometimes we'll use a school if it's not in session. And the Casman Center. We have a number of them. So the main thing is to be able to get out to the highway. And for some people who've lived here a long time, that's natural.
Yeah.
For those that have not, that E is not Edmonton. It's an evacuation route. So the intent is to get back to 63 so that you can go either north or south based on where we've set those reception centers up. And that's part of our campaign. If we get to that point
mm-hmm.
where we do need to do an evacuation, we'll be messaging that stuff across all our social media platforms, across the Alberta Emergency Alert, all those kinds of things.
Might get a knock at your door if you're one of those people.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
We will do that. That's absolutely true.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these commercials.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Once again, joining me in studio is Assistant Deputy Chief Chris Graham. We're talking all about river breakup. There is lots of information that people can access on apps, online. Where do you suggest going?
As I mentioned before, like AB Rivers is an awesome app. It's got it'll give you a really good idea of what's going on, not only in the region, but across the province, okay? And their website as well. In the municipality, in the RMWB, it's at /areyouready or /riverbreakup. Both lots of good information. Go on, take a look, download what you need, put it on your phone, put it on your mobile device, so you always have it with you.
And look out for your new book coming out in May.
Absolutely.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add or we should be aware of on any of this?
Just remember the three principles, right? Okay, know the risks, make a plan, have a kit. It'll get you in a way better mental state when it comes to dealing with disasters.
And we should just mention this. The RMWB does have a camera where you can watch the river breakup because you obviously don't want people stopping on the Athabasca or going near the shores to watch river breakup.
Absolutely. The safest spot to watch it from is using that camera, and you can access it by going to the municipal websites that mm-hmm. we mentioned. And important safety side, safety message wise, is the ice is unstable. You cannot tell how thick that is. So stay away from it now as much as possible, and stay away from it definitely during river breakup because the water or the ice can be unpredictable. It can crack up and it'll be moving. So don't get hit because you're too close.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that no one goes in. That's would be very, very serious.
Perfect. Well, once again, all the information and that river breakup camera can be found on the RMWB's website /river breakup. Well, thank you for joining me in studio today.
Pleasure.
And that is our show for today. We will be back again tomorrow from noon to 12:30 right here on Mix 103.7. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you've been listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.